Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, everyone, and welcome to another live episode of New You City Chat. I'm Danielle Mercurio, your host for the evening, and I am so excited to be with you all this evening. We have a really great show lined up for you, as always, and I'm just super excited to share the subject matter with you because it's something that I actually don't talk about a lot, but it's a really big part of my life, and it was something that recently I was thinking about. Why don't I get into this issue more so? Because it's a big part of how I am, the way I am today, and affects me literally on a regular basis. And it was even something that I considered making my coaching all about at one point, and then kind of started up my new concept. So I'm really excited to bring this back into your world, which I'm going to explain a little bit in just a moment. But a little bit more about me right now. Again, my name is Danielle Mercurio. I'm a lifestyle coach here in New York City, and I'm the founder of New You City. It's my company where basically your city is all of my business. I really try to work with you to turn on the light from within you and ignite your life on fire. I'm all about trying to make your spirituality sparkle, you know, fall in love with yourself and really just love your experience of life as it is right now. I really work with individuals that are in big cities because I know how overwhelming it can be. You're moving at a really fast pace. I like to say, like, especially being in New York, I've only been here a couple of years, but it feels like three times as fast. Things just, the energy is so much more intense that you literally age mentally a little bit, I think. So you need to find ways to cope with it all because clearly most people that move to a city want to be here. There's some kind of magic that pulls us in. So it's just a matter of finding a way to balance it all and finding routine and making it work and really manifest whatever it is that you want into your world. And so my shows tend to vary on a lot of different topics of, you know, people that live in a city or just anywhere in the world that are looking to improve their self-esteem, their body image, become more comfortable in their jobs or try to find a new career or just that overall need to find a better sense of new peace. And I love having guests on my show. I'm really excited to have, actually, for the first time ever, I'm having one of our hosts from the Life Coach Radio Network join me tonight. My first time actually having a guest on that is a coach with me here on the network. So I'm really excited, and I'll tell you a little bit more about her in just a moment. So tonight's subject, the topic is mind over stomach, redefining the joy of eating. You know, food is an interesting subject matter. You know, food is something that we need, clearly, to survive. Food is a huge part of our everyday lives. No matter what, you have to have food in some way or another. And we have a lot of weird judgments and thoughts and feelings when it comes to food. We don't always just look at it as we look at maybe like sleep, where it's like, okay, I know when I'm tired, I go to bed. We kind of understand how it works. But then with food, there's so many more options. You know, we know that we need it to survive. We know we need it to live. We know when we get that rumble in our stomach that our body needs something. But the problem is there's too many choices nowadays. There's too many things that we're putting in our bodies that may not be serving it in the best way, may have additives or chemicals or things that make our brain think that we need something when really our body needs something completely different. We become guilty about our eating habits because of the way they affect our bodies and we, you know, make us weight or just kind of do weird distorting things or mess with our energy levels. There's just so many layers upon layers about food. And for me personally, food had always been a weird thing for me as well. I grew up in, you know, an Italian household, so food is love. You know, when you go to a big Italian dinner, everyone's eating, everyone's sharing, there's joy. There's a lot of passion behind what you're eating, the wine you drink it with. It all comes together, and it's a beautiful thing. But at also another point, though, for me personally, I didn't have a super fast metabolism. I wasn't the type of person that could just eat whatever they wanted and continue on with their life. So I definitely, especially with that puberty, started to gain some weight and started to learn that, if, you know, when I ate things, essentially they had consequences. And so I felt a lot of different things around that whole idea. I was, you know, definitely when you're kind of entering high school and your weight starts to expand and you're already kind of confused about who you are and just trying to figure things out, it gets a little wonky. So then my guilt then would be attached to food, and I would yo-yo diet, and I would hope that, well, maybe this time once I do Weight Watchers and I lose the weight, I'll be happy, or, you know, once I lose these 10 pounds and that one boy will like me, or, you know, all these different things. And, you know, food was looked at as wrong, and everyone knows that when you say you can't have something, it makes you want it that much more. So I was a big, you know, secret binge eater. I would love to, you know, hide food or eat it at weird moments or make sure no one actually saw me eating it and then find time to escape with the food. So I definitely have some weird habits, not weird, but just, you know, interesting developments, if you will, that had to do with my eating habits just as a result of the way it would affect my body and then in turn affect who I thought I was. And so it wasn't actually in my mid-20s, not that long ago, I'd say maybe like 4 or 5 years now maybe, that my body finally got to the point where it couldn't take all this anymore. It couldn't take the food that I was putting into it, the crash diet, the back and forth, the inconsistencies, and I wound up having to get my gallbladder removed because it was overinflamed. And once I got my gallbladder removed, I started to lose some weight, and I started to see how important my body was as a vessel for who I am. And I was able to start eating foods that treated my body in a way that respected my body and that actually made me feel good and feel really energized. And I started to get into mindful eating, which is the whole act of taking away all the outer things that have to do with food, you know, taking away watching TV and eating food, taking away the emotions when you eat the food, making food what it is. So it's really, mindful eating is about you and your experience with what the food is in front of you and why you're eating it and the process of eating it and eating it with all of your senses. So when I learned how to incorporate that into my world, I realized that I didn't need all the diets. I didn't need, you know, all the calorie counting and all that. I coexist with food. So it's a really beautiful thing. And since then, I've been able to, for the most part, you know, manage my weight really well. I know myself very well. And I know that when I do start to gain the weight or, you know, something happens and something is going on in my life that needs to be recognized and noticed. So in some ways, I actually appreciate food in that sense because it can trigger me when maybe sometimes my mind doesn't realize what's really going on. So that's kind of my experience with food. And I really am excited about our guest tonight because she has even more experience with food just with her background and what she's learned and what she's studied. So I'm just really excited to bring her in for it. And I need to pull up her bio because I thought I had it up, and I didn't. Bear with me. All right, here it is. And so like I said, Lizbeth is a life coach here on the Life Coach Radio Network with me, so I'm super excited that, you know, she wanted to come on my show. I've been thinking about maybe doing something about mindful eating again or just eating in process in general, diets, all that. And so when I saw that she was around, I was like, hey, this could be a really great match. There could be some synergy. So, like I said, Elizabeth is a holistic health coach who helps women whose to-do list is so long they have forgotten the most important one. She is available for one-on-one coaching and offers fun and interactive workshops that help cultivate the body, mind, and spirit talents. And you can check out her website at www.fulllifehealth.biz. So with that, I would like to welcome Elizabeth to the show. Hello.
Hello. Thanks, Danielle, for that great intro. I really am so pumped to be here. And, wow, I love two things, your personal story around nutrition, but I also really love how you're using coaching to help, you know, light people's fire, wherever city they're residing in. I think that's really awesome work you're doing. So thanks for having me on the show.
Of course, I appreciate that. And where are you calling in from tonight?
The frozen tundra of Minnesota.
All right, so I cannot complain at all then where I am in New York. You know, we have been literally complaining since December, I want to say, about our weather and how bad it's been. And I will say, to a certain degree, it is unusual how extreme it's been for us. So I think it gives us a little bit of a right to complain. Though at the same time, I'm sure that everyday snow is now just the norm for you.
It's not the snow so much, Danielle. It's that horrible sub-zero temperatures, I guess. I've lived here for 14 years, and this is the first time since I've lived here that we've had sub-zero temperatures for this many days in a row. So I'm ready to buy one of those infrared saunas at the Minnesota State Fair this summer, and I'm going to rent it out next winter.
Oh, my goodness. I think that's a great idea. I think you could add that to your coaching business. It'd be a perfect Yeah, sweat it off. That can be your, your new concept. Sweat off your mind's sweat as well as your body. I like it. And, you know, speaking of winter and being that bone-chilling cold, this is awful. You know, a lot of times what do we tend to do? We tend to eat more. We go into hibernation mode, and we want to hoard up and eat. So hopefully throughout the show we can maybe give some of our listeners some tools or takeaways that can help when that happens. Because I know it's definitely there are moments where I'm feeling really cold and I get home and my body just feels like so much more ravished and just wants to, like, hoard up on things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, tonight I wanted, before we get into, you know, a little bit more about how people can bring joy back into their eating and everything else that you're going to teach us that they can take away to start to bring to their own eating practice, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you do and what made you want to get specifically into this area of your coaching.
Perfect. Well, again, thanks for this awesome opportunity. Now, really the reason that I wanted to or decided to become a holistic health coach is I have been a registered nurse for over 15 years, and with all my experience as a registered nurse and all the training that I've had, I came basically to a crossroads where it was either I needed to go back to school or I wanted to go back to school, and as I was researching, what I discovered is that going back to nursing school to get an advanced practice degree really did not align with my values. It was more, it felt like I was going to have to go to school, and it was sort of felt like I was being put in a square box, and I'm like not a square, and I'm sort of outside the box kind of person. It didn't feel really creative, and so as I continued to do my research, I found an incredible nutrition program, so I decided to instead invest my money and supplementing my nursing education and experience with something that was more holistic in nature. And I started with the nutrition. And that way I'm able to, I kind of switched gears from, you know, being in the medical field and really doling out the medicines and doing the procedures to a place of really being able to help people heal from the inside out. And nutrition is such a huge part of that. And also, I have wanted to be a life coach, I mean, from the time that I can remember, I mean, I don't know, 3 or 4 years of age. I've always loved to just sort of motivate other people and get people fired up about whatever makes them tick. And so it was just a perfect marriage of, you know, experience and what I wanted to help people do, because I had had some healing experiences of my own, and I just wanted to share that with others.
Yes, and that's huge, and I think that's a big part of a lot of life coaches, is we have that story within us, that change that happened, that shift that then makes us want to help the people that I like to say that my clients are just a few steps behind me. Not that they're that far off the deep end, you know, they're just a little bit behind, and that way I can definitely connect to them and relate to their story, and they can connect and relate to me too. So I think that's a beautiful partnership that comes from the life coaching process.
Yeah, definitely.
And I really like too what you were saying about the whole idea of healing from the inside out. I think that's so important, because we, especially with food and diet and our body image, we think that if we do it from the outside in, we'll find our satisfaction. And that's not really the case.
Exactly. And that's where the healing begins is, yes, it's really starting from the inside, because we really tend to focus in the world and the culture that we live in on extraneous and outwardly things when really it takes doing the work and going inward and those kinds of things. I really, I was exposed to those when I went through yoga teacher training. And, man, that was an eye-opener. That was a game-changer for me for sure. And it's intoxicating being able to not only transform yourself, but then also help people tap into their own gifts. And we all have gifts. We just sometimes don't pay attention to them.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I love, especially which connects me to what you were saying when you were 3 or 4, you knew you wanted to be a life coach. That's pretty amazing. I don't think I knew what a life coach was. I knew what my swimming coach was, but that's about as far as I went as far as that world was. So I think that's really awesome that you've just always known and you found a way to marry, you know, the nursing and your background in that and your passion for yoga and the holistic sense to what you do with nutrition as well. It's, again, it's all about finding that beautiful balance that really makes you connect to who it is that you're working with. So I think that's great that you found that.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Proud of it. Sure. Yeah. I love it. Yes, that's the confidence I'm looking for. So going back to this whole idea we were talking about before, you know, you were saying that you really work with a lot of women or, you know, people in general that when we were talking before the show, that have lost their self in their busyness of life. Why do you think that happens? Why do you think that we get so caught up in everything that we're doing that we put our own self on hold? We put our bodies on hold. We put our health on hold. We say, all right, well, I'll start the diet on Monday or I'll just eat these chips. Who cares? Why is it that we just, you know, seem to let ourselves be at the bottom when it comes to priorities?
Well, I think, Danielle, that comes from a variety of a couple different factors, but I think so one, I think for sure, not to omit men at all, but I'm pretty sure that if you're born with a uterus, there's just something that comes with being able to multitask and to multitask really well. So women are really good at doing many things and many things well, and so they think maybe sometimes because you can do something that you probably should. So that's one thing. I think it's inherent in being female. The other thing is we have this culture, this society, you know, it's sort of like no one ever likes to talk about the elephant in the room or that they're actually struggling, but instead of admitting that they're struggling with whatever it is, like their parenting is difficult or they're having a weight issue or they have addiction problems, whatever it is, it's always like, well, you got to keep up with the Joneses. You always got to be one step ahead. You don't want to look weak or vulnerable because for help means you're weak. And then the other thing is we live in this crazy society of 20 minutes ago instant gratification. We're connected 24/7. And so we have been programmed by large companies who are all about profit to tell us that we do not have the time to take care of ourselves. And everything in terms of nutrition and health has come down to convenience. And so we're living in, you know, the road warrior diet, which is where people are eating in their cars. And they're not eating at the table with their families. They're all at work or at meetings or at practice or what have you. And so we've totally lost track of the really simple basics of what makes a person healthy, and that's sitting down at a table and having some gratitude and having some communion with like a family unit, you know. And so that's kind of my explanation of why that gets put on the back burner.
Yeah, and I think those are really great, relevant points. I love that you brought up first that whole idea of the elephant in the room of just admitting when you feel struggle, because you're right, we have to be, you know, I can't think of the word right now, but we have to be just everywhere at once. We have to just have it all together and nod and smile and say, aha, and yes, and whatnot. And we just, all we're doing is just building it all up inside of us until we break. And easier to admit struggle before that breakdown than to have to wait for the breakdown to happen. Now, either way, I do think you get a release. But I think it's a lot more beneficial when you can admit the struggle before you have to get so, you know, far down and so low that you really have no choice but to crack and kind of at least open. So I'm glad that you brought that to light, because we do that. Something I heard recently is you can't complain about the things that you say yes to. And I believe that's true in a way, because we naturally take on so much, and then we complain that we're so busy, or we complain about this thing or that, or, you know, and it just comes down to, well, did you agree to it? Did you say you would do it? And then it's like, well, if you did, then you need to either just not complain or reassess the next time and learn another way to say no. So I think establishing that is really important. I'm glad you brought that up. And then your other side of it, that 24/7 struggle that we feel, and this concept of being road warriors, and this whole idea of now diet has lost the sense of the communion and the family and the coming home, and to being on the road and just grabbing whatever's convenient. And it seems like what you were saying, the corporate world has really set us up to fail in a way, because it's always pushing this convenience factor to us, and in a way that isn't serving our bodies in a great way. You know, it's throwing us nutrition bars that are loaded with corn syrup and this and that, or, you know, things, you know, labeled as diet soda, which we know that, I know personally, I used to be addicted to diet soda, and I gave it up for a week, and no lie, I lost 5 pounds that week just by giving up diet soda. So, you know,
dang,
that goes for sure. That goes to show you right there what diet soda is really all about. So I'd love for you just to talk a little bit more about your thoughts on how the corporate diet and how we kind of get so sucked into it, and how it seems to just really just sabotage us further and to really help us and make us healthier.
Perfect. Well, I, just on a sidebar, I, like, one of my secret missions is to get all women off of Diet Coke.
Oh, I would love that. I am with you.
I know many, many people who that I adore drink it, and it just breaks my heart. But anyway, that's just my sidebar.
Yeah.
But this is my feeling. Everything that I learned in my nutrition program and firmly believe is that, you know, these huge corporations who, it's all about the bottom line profit, you know, diets are based on the premise that everyone's the same, and that, you know, it's the mea culpa, this one grapefruit diet is going to work for everybody. Well, that is the farthest thing from the truth. Every single human is obviously born with their own DNA, but everyone is completely bio-individual, which means something that works fabulous for me may be poisonous to you. And so it's this whole one-size-fits-all business. And again, it has nothing to do with health. It has everything to do with fillers, dyes, chemicals, the quick fix, which is the exact thing that really, as a society, we need to take a deep breath, just stop, and get back to the basics. And I feel very passionately about the whole, I mean, that would be a whole nother show, but just about the way that food is advertised. I mean, you realize when you go to the grocery store, if you put a toddler in a grocery cart, guess what? They are eye level with all those cereal boxes that have Dora the Explorer and all these other childlike things. I mean, they're targeting the babies before they're even out of the womb, and it really gets my goat. So that's all I'll say about that, but that's my opinion about sort of the corporate way and why really they set us up to fail, because they have never been realistic from their conception.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the thing is, if these diets worked, then they wouldn't have repeat customers, would they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely,
you know?
My friend.
Yeah. And that's totally what gets me. And I am, again, so with you on the diet sort of thing. I know that I said that I wouldn't say yes to anything else right now, but I will say yes to that campaign. We could do a show just on the horrors of diet soda, because as a former addict, I am very anti that, so I'm with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, it kind of breaks your heart. And I think, honestly, what broke my heart the most was when I first started to look at diets in a new way, when I started the mindful eating, when I, you know, had to come out of surgery and be like, okay, what can I truly eat? And learning that everything that I needed to eat came from the earth. It didn't come from a carton or, you know, just a wrapper or all these things, you know, that I needed to be able to learn how to read the ingredients. And I almost, it's almost like, you know, when you break up with someone, you go through all these different phases. And I feel like that's kind of what I did with food. It was like, first I was sad, and then I realized what was going on, I got angry. You know, and you kind of just like go through all these different processes, and you know, now I'm much better with it. But it's interesting how much you don't realize what's out there until you actually look. It really, you're blinded by it until you actually open your eyes and see.
It's very concerning as a citizen of this country how much is not shared with the general public in terms of nutrition. I mean, I was floored at the school that I went to was the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and it's the largest school in nutrition in New York, and wow, I mean, I had no idea, and I thought I was pretty savvy, and I always thought that I ate pretty healthy. Holy moly. So that's why, I mean, it lit a fire under my butt about educating other people and sharing this, because it is going to take some major grassroots efforts, but that's okay, because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I agree with you. So, yes, and we're going to now, I'm going to take a quick break, but then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about food and how it's energy and the things that you can do to start implementing into your life today and bring back some of the joy and kind of start to phase out some of the things that we were just talking about. So, but as you guys know, you are listening to the Life Coach Radio Network right now. For those of you that haven't listened before, this is one of three networks that were started a little under a year ago. We're hitting our one-year mark in May, which is really exciting. We have about 40 coaches across the three networks, and we do a variety of shows, just from what you're listening to right now to motivational talks, to coming out stories, to finding your self-esteem. There are just so many different layers, so many different topics. The great thing about all these shows is that if you're not able to listen live, they're available on the website you're listening to now, or you can check us out on iTunes through the Life Coach Radio Network. So it's a great way to just kind of get some self-help boosters if you need them. You can always just listen to them when you're driving in the car. Just, you know, who knows what little takeaways that you can get from it. And it's a great platform for not only us, for us as coaches to really share our message, but for you to really get something beneficial, get something that might, you know, just change your life in one little way, one little thing that can make your world turn that much brighter. And a little bit about some of our other shows. Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our coach Walk Your Talk with Leanne, the 12 relationship mistakes that women make. Oh, I need to listen to this one. Okay, so what she's going to do is she's going to have Georgia Schaefer, who is a professional speaker and Christian life coach, on her show. And she's going to talk about her newest book, which was the title of the show, and basically how to avoid the relationship mistakes that women make and how these tips can then transform your life. That sounds really great. I would say, as a single woman myself, the best relationship advice that I ever heard was not to read the books for single women, but actually read the books for people in relationships. Because if you start to read about what makes the relationship work, when you're in one, you're already prepared. You're already set yourself up for it. And you're attracting then into your world relationships as well. But anyway, I just thought that was a great tip. I haven't done it yet, but I just heard that's why. So that's going to be on Thursday at 1 p.m. And then also on the Life Coach Radio Network, we have Train Your Brain to Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. And you can join her with her inner winning coaching. And she is going to talk about the concept of, should I stay or should I go? High school seniors will start to receive acceptance letters and also rejection letters to the schools they've applied for. So there will be a lot of decisions that will need to start to take place in the near future, along with the overall decision of college, because maybe it's not for everyone, at least right away. Mandy will be talking about all the different components that go into making one of the biggest decisions a young adult has to make. So for all the parents with kids that are in high school looking to get into college, this is a great show. It's on Friday at 12 p.m. on the Life Coach Radio Network with Coach Mandy, who I actually met last weekend at our Life Coach Radio Network weekend, which was really fun. And we hope to have more live weekend events for you like that in the future. So back to our show, Mind Over Stomach, Redefining the Joy of Eating. I'm here with Elizabeth Overton, and we've been having a great discussion thus far. And if you want to join in and you have any questions or comments or just overall feedback that you want to share with us, you're more than welcome to call in as well. The number is 646-716-9397. And if you want to talk to us, you're just going to hit number 1, which will let us know that you're ready to speak. And we also have a chat room, so you can, I see there's a couple people in there. You can totally use that as a platform as well. It's completely anonymous, so don't feel embarrassed about anything that you might want to ask, or if you need us to repeat something, we're more than happy to do that for you. So utilize the chat room, call in. We love callers, so we encourage that as well. All right, so back to Elizabeth. Welcome back. Hope you had a good break.
Thanks.
So let's talk a little bit more about food as it is. You know, I want to kind of give, we are saying, you know, the way we look at food now isn't always the most pure, isn't really the most holistic way. And so I want to start to give our listeners a new way to look at food. And one of the concepts that you discussed with me when we were chatting about the show was looking at food as a teacher. And I would love for you to explain that a little bit more for everyone else.
Okay, excuse me. A little tickle. So,
no worries.
You asked me to talk about food a little more, so I would just sort of like to throw this out there to folks. So I would just challenge you to just scrap everything you've ever heard about nutrition just for the next, like, 30 minutes, and then just to imagine for a moment that all food is energy and that food actually has the capacity to heal the body if given the chance. So with that in mind, again, you scrapped everything that you've ever learned, imagined, experienced about food. What would it look like for you if you just listened to what your body needs for fuel when you're deciding what to eat? I believe that, you know, our bodies are like supercomputers, and they really do contain everything that we need. We just have to be open and ready to hear what that computer or our bodies are trying to tell us. You know, because at the end of the day, your food and what you eat becomes your blood. And so when you're eating foods from all the colors of the rainbow that are whole and fresh, you're creating health from within yourself, because when you're ingesting prana, which in, that's kind of a yoga term, but it means life force, but when you're eating foods that contain preservatives, dyes, and chemicals, then what you're doing in your body is creating disruption and confusion in your cells. So that is sort of my take on food and energy, and just totally to turn nutrition on its head. You know, what do you think about that, Danielle?
Oh, I love it. It makes me all warm and fuzzy. it does. I just, you know, there's something to it. And I think it's great that you're just telling people, throw anything in you out the window. Like, you know what? It's time to start fresh. Let's start literally from scratch and just think about food in a completely new way that you never have before. And it's so freaking simple. Food is energy.
Right.
Rainbow foods. I love it. Like, I'm like, yay, rainbow foods. That makes me, like, excited. Like, who, you know, and if you're telling little, that's a fun way to tell a little kid instead of being like you were saying, like, here's your, you know, Dora the Explorer, like, fruit snack. You can be like, here's your rainbow foods. And, like, today you're going to eat yellow instead of, you know, today you're going to eat yellow number 5 or whatever the dyes are. And I just started doing Kundalini yoga, so I'm all about the light force as well. And so it totally just lit up my soul listening to you talk about food as that way. So I dig it. So how can people start to, here's the thing. I think it's beautiful that you just kind of opened up the doors in this way. How can people remember it, though? You know, like, it's easy for us to sit here right now and be like, oh, this is great. This is a really good concept. How can they start to bring it into their everyday and not lose sight of it so quickly as we often do?
Okay, here are my tips to ponder. And just next time you're thinking about eating or you go to eat, remember that really food and eating is a completely sacred event. And so when you're going to eat, just taking 5 seconds to offer up some gratitude about what you're about to eat, whatever it is, just giving up that, offering up your energy and saying thank you. Another thing is make it fancy, man. Have fun with it. Like, get out your fine china. Get out your wine glasses. Yay. Get out get out like some crazy, mix it up. It doesn't have to be all like chichi, fancy, like matchy-matchy, but make it fun and have fun and explore with it. And what I want you to do is to not do anything else when you're eating. Don't be on Facebook. Don't be reading the newspaper. Don't be watching TV. If anything, if you can commune with other people while you're eating, that is a lovely place to be. And when you're eating, I dare you to try to chew your food 10 times before you swallow it. I just dare you, because what do? We put a bite of food in our mouth. It's whatever it is. We take one chew, one bite, and then we slurp it down with a big old Diet Coke or coffee or whatever. And we don't chew it. And digestion starts in the mouth by chewing. And you're not going to get any nutrients if you do not chew up your food. So that is one thing that I would dare you to do. Another thing would be put your utensils down in between your bites. You talked about this a little bit earlier, Danielle, but like, use all your five senses. Like, what does it feel like on your tongue? What does it smell like? What does it feel like? You know, like, really get it to be a sensual experience, because that is what food is meant to be. You know, the thing is, if you are eating kale chips every day or broccoli, if you are in a cray-cray environment and you're eating in the car on the way to work and you're stressed out, you are not going to assimilate any of the nutrients. So I would charge you to be calm, intentional, present, and because your body, you deserve that. And when you are intentional and you start paying attention to how you feel after you eat, you're going to start putting the things together and realizing, wow, you know, when I eat this one food, I really get tired 2 hours later. Or, man, when I eat this, I really feel energized. So it's real simple. It's just get back to the basics. Eat what you feel like your body needs. If you can go organic, if you can stay away from things that don't grow on a tree or out of the ground, it's probably a good idea. If you want to eat something that has 12 ingredients, you might want to reconsider it.
These are all really great. I like what you were saying about really think about what you're eating, not think about something else. You know, because you're right. I know that even if I do, like, let's say when I'm watching TV and eating or looking at Facebook and eating, I know that I'm not totally eating. I'm looking at what so-and-so is up to, you know, skiing in the mountains with her boyfriend right now. And even though times when I do try to sit and eat and I'm by myself, even though, when my thoughts get ahead of me, I notice I stop tasting. I stop literally, even though I'm technically eating, I'm not engaged anymore. And it's kind of like, what's the point? You know, it's like, why eat if you're not even really, you know, experiencing it? Why waste it? It's like wasting food in a way. And I like this idea. You know, you were saying, you know, have fun, be fancy. And I'm like, yeah, it's like have a dinner party. And that, when you have a dinner party, that doesn't mean that you have to invite other people. Well, that's very fun. You can have a dinner party for yourself.
Absolutely. Have fun with it, for sure.
Yeah, that's really cool. And one other thing that, you know, you're talking about in between bites and putting down your fork or your spoon, whatever it is, I believe that nothing tastes better than the first bite. Because after that, you're just chasing it. Yeah, so it's like savor that freaking first bite, you know, like really take it all in as much as you can. Put down the silverware, put down everything, and just take it in, because that's the most, I don't know, for me personally, that's the most beautiful part about a dish is taking that first bit, that first bite, whatever it is, and then really living it up. And when you can do that, you tend to overeat as well, I think. I don't know, what is your take on that?
Well, right, and that's the thing. When you are present in the moment and you are just loving up whatever it is that you're eating, again, like your body, when your body is in a calm and peaceful state, you're not going to eat as much. Your body can totally assimilate all the nutrients that it can out of whatever it is that you're eating. And plus, if you rush and slam down your food, well, you're going to overeat because, you know, your body doesn't have time to, like, tell your brain, dude, you know, I'm full. You can stop now. So it's just being attentive, being aware. I mean, it's like, it's so simple, it's kind of silly almost.
I know. It really is crazy. It's like, yeah, when you lay it out there and you're like, wait, this is it? And yet we've made it so complicated. We've written so many books. We've made so many different products and gadgets and this and that. And it's overwhelming when it really just comes down to what you were just saying and what we've been talking about. One other thing I had a question about, and maybe this has to do with some of the other takeaways you might have, but here's the thing. I believe that another part of being satisfied when you eat is to eat what you want, and you should be prepared for that. So, you know, I think sometimes, like you were saying, I like the concept of bio-individual. So a lot of times when you're on these diet programs, they say, okay, for breakfast you must eat this, for lunch you must, and they don't give you the luxury of deciding what it is that you should eat. And I think that's where sometimes we fail, or we wind up binging, or we wind up just, you know, going for something else because we're not listening to what our body actually wants. Like maybe our body is in the mood for something crunchy, but, you know, our diet is saying that we need to have yogurt or something like that. So we're not satisfying what our body's doing right now. So how, what's a good way to, like, let's say you're at work and you're reaching for the snacks and you want something and you're not exactly sure how to prepare yourself, but you are able to kind of satisfy all the senses at all times. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, scrap everything you know about nutrition and listen to what your body needs. There's a couple different things going on, but, you know, sometimes when we crave things because other parts of our lives aren't being met to our satisfaction. Maybe our job sucks or our relationship's horrible or we're sick, and so we're craving chocolate, we're craving tobacco, we're craving alcohol. So that is something to consider. Another thing to consider is, I can't remember, I think it was Janine Roth, but when, in my nutrition program, she talks about if you're having a craving, you know, go ahead and eat it, but, you know, there's no need to eat a huge amount of it because you already know what it tastes like.
Mm.
But if you do want to try something, just chalk it up to research. So, like, if I want something that I know is not, like, uber healthy, well, whatever. I don't beat myself up. I just eat it, and I go on with it. And then so maybe I say, well, you know, that didn't really satisfy my craving. Maybe I need to look at what else is going on in my life because I'm trying to fill something here, and this is not the source of the problem.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I really like that. It's something that used to help me when I was first, you know, like I said, I used to be a binge eater, and it was hard in the beginning because, believe I did similar things where I would let myself have it in the beginning because it was too hard not to. So almost when I was like, you know what, Danielle, just go for it, have whatever you want, which then, of course, made it less desirable. And I also told myself, the pizza shops aren't closing. You know, Ben & Jerry's is not going out of business. Don't eat like they're going out of business. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't, you don't need to eat like you're never going to have it again, you know? So, like, just take what you need from it and move on and know that it will be there tomorrow. And when you know that it will be there tomorrow, then you can be like, well, maybe it'll still be there the next day. And you can kind of just keep putting it off almost until it becomes non-existent.
What you're doing is you're establishing awareness about, you feel this yearning in your body. You're not sure what it is, but you're craving that one thing. For you, it maybe with Ben & Jerry's. But when you're talking to yourself, like, well, if they're not going to close tomorrow, so you kind of talk down the anxiety and you don't have it, but you're establishing awareness, you're establishing balance. And that is huge because that is what our bodies crave, is balance.
Ooh, that makes me feel like I was really, really smart and empowering when I was doing that.
Totally.
Now I just feel like a rock star, patting myself from 4 years ago on the back. And you're so right, though. Like, you're right. Our bodies are just looking for balance, and we seek it in a lot of different ways. But when you break it down and you start to have awareness, your body will naturally align itself into the way that it wants and the way that it believes will be balanced for you overall. Am I hearing that correctly?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the concepts that people learn about in nutrition is the yin, the yang. People have heard about that. It's like a Chinese medicine term, but, you know, it's all about the circle, the white and the black, you know, the tail of the coin, the head of the coin, and it represents balance. Your body is 24/7 trying to achieve homeostasis or balance, and in Chinese medicine, food has the capacity to be warm, hot, cold, or neutral when you eat it. And so if you're eating foods that are too yin or too yang, then you're going to crave foods of the opposite. So if you're eating a lot of salty food, then you're going to want to crave foods that are maybe like have caffeine or alcohol. So, I mean, the body is amazing on so many levels. So if we just stop and listen to what it is that we're doing and just think about, well, you know, what is it that I'm really supposed to be doing? We're very intuitive, and I just want to help people tap into their intuition because they already have what they need. They just have to make the action and be sure in the fact that what they're doing is exactly what they're supposed to be doing.
Yes, I am very on board with you on that. And it's not just about what does my body want, but what does my mind want as well. Like you were saying, when you're having a craving for something, are you having a craving for something because you're mad at your boyfriend or because
right.
your body wants it, you know? And most of the time when you dig a little bit deeper, you realize that you're trying to solve a problem with food, and that's not food's job.
Exactly.
That's your job or a coach's job to help you see what the answers are because, like you said, they're already within you. Start.
Yeah.
I like it. So do you have any other good takeaways for our listeners? Anything else to help just that busy person on the go to help them really start to implement a new, healthier lifestyle to take in what you said before about that whole idea of just throw all the food concepts out the window, start fresh? What are some good small steps that someone could take to starting out?
I would say you can never go wrong if you have a plan for eating. I mean, if you're a busy professional and you work every day, which most people have to work these days, you know, go to the grocery store, make a list. What are some fun new things that you wanna try? Just have fun with it, but start eating like colors of the rainbow and exploring with it. If you have kids, you know, buy a new fruit every time you go to the store that you've never seen before. Google it. Have fun with it. But you really do need to be prepared and have a plan so that you don't get hungry and, you know, go through the drive-thru when you're exhausted and tired and starving. You know, have some healthy things. Have some fruit, some veggies that are cut up. And once you sort of get into that routine and that habit, it just expands on itself, and then you can do even more things with that.
Yeah. Routine is huge. I remember for myself personally, that was the biggest thing to help me. The more that I was able to implement what I wanted, make a plan, and then just practice, you know, every day and not getting upset or mad at myself if I didn't go according to plan that day, if something happened or whatever, not being hard on myself. I think that was huge. So I'm glad that you brought up that idea because it's a practice for sure. You're building your, not only your body to start to adapt to this new way of eating, but your mind to adapt to it as well and how it reacts to your stress and all the different things. So it's a whole full-on process, and we can't expect it to change overnight just because we're saying, well, I want to start to eat healthy. That's great. That's the first, but it doesn't happen overnight. It happens, you know, over time and letting it evolve and finding ways that work best for you. You have to kind of experiment. And because again, we're the bio-individuals that we are.
Absolutely. And one more thing that I was going to share, and I totally just had a brain freeze, but, the other huge thing that I would say is a great tip if you're wanting to learn more about yourself and nutrition and energy is start to figure out where is your food coming from? Like, are you buying local? Is it from Argentina? Like, start to, like, be curious. Be a food explorer and, like, just really have fun with it. And then the more awareness you have about it, it's going to transform your life because you really, your food becomes your blood. And when you're eating broccoli, you're having different thoughts than someone who's eating cheeseburgers.
Ooh, that's healthy. I like that. Can you explain a little bit more why it's important to eat local versus, you know, from another country or whatnot? Just, I know that we don't have a lot of time, but just quickly why that matters.
Well, it's always good to support local because you're decreasing greenhouse gases by having to pay for train, airplane, ships to ship something from Argentina when you could buy it in your own backyard. So it's eco-conscious, it's green, it decreases the carbon footprint, it helps the local business. And again, it's giving you a connection to your own backyard where you live. I mean, we got to get back to the basics here. We need to have more farmers markets. We need to be teaching our kids how to grow gardens in schools. And we need to be providing really healthy organic food that doesn't have junk in it, pesticides, chemicals, you name it.
And to get over this whole concept or this excuse that we've made that eating healthy, I can't afford it. It's too expensive. You know, I feel
you
like
cannot
that's the
afford. You cannot afford to not eat healthy with all the toxins and just our environment and the air quality, all the technology that we're around, you know, all these things that emit extremely low frequencies, power lines, all these things. We need to be aware of those things, but we're so busy in our technology, we're totally oblivious. I mean, more people now, by 2015, 1 in 3 people is going to have diabetes.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
And that is a completely lifestyle-mediated disease. People need to just start moving and eating healthy.
Mm-hmm. And making themselves a priority and not feel bad about that or guilty about it, you know?
Absolutely. Like, scrap whatever's happened, but let's go. You're worth it.
Yeah, totally. All my listeners know that I always say, almost pretty much every show now, they're like, here she goes again. Self-love is not selfish, but a necessary part of our survival. And it holds very true in this conversation.
Listen, you always have to put on your own oxygen mask before you can help somebody else put theirs on.
Yeah. Beautifully said. I love it. So it's been so great having you on. There are so many different things that we could have went off on a tangent on because you just are so knowledgeable on this matter and you're so passionate about it. And that makes me really excited that you are a coach on our network because when you have your show, you have a plethora of topics to talk about and just things to really engage people about. And I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit more about what your plans are with the network or just in general, what it is you can do, how they can connect with you, all that juicy stuff.
Awesome. Well, again, I'm very new to the network, and I just want to say, Russ Terry, shout out to you, man. You are awesome for being the brainchild behind the Life Coach Radio Networks. I mean, what a brilliant concept. So thanks for letting me be a part of it. I do have grandiose plans of having my own show someday when I get the chops to run the controls. But until then, I am available for one-on-one coaching at wholelifehealth.biz. And I have a couple workshops coming up. Those are only local. We're going to be talking about the stress-less diet. And then we're going to be doing things, some hands-on, like guided meditation. I'm going to do the rainbow meditation and then teach people how to build their own survival kit for stress, which helps enhance or using all your 5 senses, which is going to be so fun. So eventually I might do that kind of stuff online. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing now. I just love this network. Again, thanks for this awesome show tonight, Danielle. It was super fun.
Yeah, I'm so great. You know, it's so exciting to, and I say this a lot, you know, as a life coach, a lot of times we're kind of on our own and I feel a little bit isolating at times. And the great thing about what Russ Terry did by creating this network was not only give a great resource to the audience, but to give a great resource to other life coaches as well. I've made so many beautiful connections, collaborations. Like I said, we had the live workshop weekend a couple weeks ago here in New York City, and it was so amazing to meet these individuals live and to have a sense of community and to have people that you can count on and you can talk about with. And just like with any job, you know, you need to have your coworkers, your peers, and it's a great way to kind of take that isolation factor out of the community and really bring people together. So I love that. And just, you know, clearly it was great to learn more about you tonight. Clearly this is just what we were talking about tonight on the show and just a little bit about what you were talking about, what you're up to as far as your workshops and everything you have going for you. It's just the tip of the iceberg. You have so much more to come as we all see here and clearly just stick with, you know, the network, do a couple more life coach chats, come on as people shows as a guest. Just I encourage you to practice and then, you know, really push yourself into doing your own show because you definitely have all the makings. You have just the energy, the passion, and clearly the resources of things that people want to hear about, want to know about. So I'm really excited for you and for everything that's to come.
Well, you are so sweet. Well, thank you, Danielle. That's awesome.
You're welcome. And just any final last thought for our listeners before you go for the evening?
Let me see. Just remember that you're each amazing the way that you are. And I hope that your next meal you think of us and that you savor every bite and that it's amazing as ever.
Ah, beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. I love it. That was perfect. So great, great show. Thank you so much for coming on, Lizbeth. I'm just so excited that we did this together, and I'm really excited to see what you're up to in the future.
Awesome. Thanks, Danielle. Thanks, listeners.
Yeah. Ooh, that was awesome. Such a great show. I'm really glad, like I said at the beginning of the show, that we got into this topic because, I don't know, for some reason I just forget that I love this stuff so much. And, you know, I forget to incorporate it in more so to New York City. And I really should. I really should find a way to blend it all. But that's the beautiful part about my coaching. What I do is because it's a great way to blend all your life experiences into different channels and platforms and help people out with certain areas that you can connect to in one way or another. So, again, I'm just really happy that we got to talk about this. And hopefully it brought some awareness to your life, maybe brought some questions to your mind. Maybe you're a little bit more curious about trying out a new way of eating. Maybe tomorrow you won't change anything, but maybe you'll eat an apple, you know? That would be awesome. Maybe you'll look into the idea of, you know, looking at the little label on your blueberries and seeing if they're from Mexico or New Jersey, you know, seeing which one's closer to you. Or taking a look at the old box and instead of worrying about how many calories or, you know, grams of fiber there is in your granola bars, maybe looking and seeing how many ingredients there are that you can't read. Like Elizabeth mentioned, Janine Roth is a great resource if you're looking for books. Michael Pollan as well. He wrote the book, The Food Rules. I'm blanking. It's the Omnivore book, which I love. I'm looking over at my bookshelf right now, and I don't see it, but Omnivore's Dilemma, that's what it was. So there's a lot of great resources out there, as well as in the Buddhist meditation community. There's a great book by her name's Dr. Jan something, and she wrote a book called Mindful Eating, which really can open up your mind to that as well. So tons of resources. Clearly, you can reach out to Elizabeth as well or myself. In order to get a hold of me, you can reach out to me via my website, www.newyoucitycoaching.com. I'm on every social media, Google New You City in one way or another, and you'll find me on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, you name it. I'm lingering around somewhere. So I'd love for you to connect with me, whatever it is that you happen to be struggling with, wherever you are in your journey, and let me know how I can help you. I am doing, I almost forgot, and I wrote myself a note because I knew that I would almost forget. I am running a little challenge that is starting on Thursday. This is my third or fourth time doing it, and it was asked that I do it again this year by popular demand, which was kind of exciting, and it's called the New You Challenge. And basically, I'm taking that whole premise of the Biggest Loser. I'm not calling it that because I feel like it has a negative context to it when you say the Biggest Loser. So New You Challenge is a way to lose some pounds but with some cash. So basically, everyone is on their own time. Every week, you send me a picture of you on the scale, and we mark your progress along the course of 7 weeks, and there's a buy-in as well. So put all the money in a pot, and then at the end, whoever loses the most percentage of their body weight, we don't do pounds because it would be not as equal, will win a percentage of the pot, and there's a raffle, and along the way I send out newsletters and tips, and I'm really encouraging and kind of the cheerleader along the way, and I find that people are really successful because which is as it should be, but it's that whole idea of accountability. It's the whole idea of knowing, okay, it's Wednesday morning, I have to send Danielle a picture of the scale, what do I want to eat, you know, it's Tuesday night, because that's going to make a difference. So that's really the biggest push I find sometimes in needing to lose the weight. So again, it's the New You Challenge. You can find information on Facebook, actually, if you go to facebook.com/NewYouCity or reach out to me, see Danielle, I'm in for the challenge, how do I start, and I'll hook you up. So my next show is going to be on March 4th, Tuesday, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to have Danielle Mund on. So yes, Danielle and Danielle are going to be at it. I'm very excited. She is also a coach on the Life Betrayal Network. I do Toastmasters with her here in New York City, and we have a spinoff from the whole Toastmaster concept that we are bringing to you live. We're going to teach you how to talk off the cuff in improv, how to kind of shake your nerves before you have that big speech at a wedding or a job interview that's coming up. You know, you don't want to talk about the weather. You kind of want to stand out maybe just a little bit more, or you don't want to default to the crazy cat story on a blind date. We're just going to tell you how to soft up your conversation because we feel that it's lacking in a lot of ways. So that's my next show, March 4th, and I hope that you can tune in for that. Or, again, shows on every first and third Tuesdays of the month, and I so love your participation and your listening and just your feedback and your comments. It's been so amazing. So it's just a great experience. So as always, I thank you because I wouldn't be doing this if you weren't doing this for me. So until next time, please keep dreaming and just stay open to life's possibilities. Much love, much life. Good night.